You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, February the 3rd. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit too awake for 12:30 in the morning. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. We really do appreciate all you guys and all the new listeners that you're going to bring into the fold in the future as well. Today we're going to wrap up late Tuesday night's loss out in Salt Lake City as the Pistons are now 0-2 on the daunting West Coast road trip. Also, part two of a discussion about trading cards with me and brother Brian. He's got insights on what he's been up to, and we're also going to look for you guys to help us out and give us ideas for how he should tie the Pistons into his collection as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow at bshook12 on Twitter, and also the Play Michigan account, play_Michigan. But the Pistons dropped one on Tuesday night, almost came back, made it interesting after you fell asleep. And Brother Brian has the details.
This is your Pistons game recap.
Royce on a drive. Back out to Bogey. Another three. You bet! Bogdanovich from downtown.
The Pistons battled back from a 28-point first-half deficit to get it within four in the closing minutes, but two big threes late by the Jazz shut the door as they end up beating Detroit 117-105 to drop the Pistons' record to 5-16. The Pistons showed a lot of heart fighting back to make the game interesting late, but couldn't overcome yet another big first-half deficit this year in what is becoming a common flow for Pistons games this year. Detroit was once again led by Jeremy Grant, who is making his case to be in the All-Star game this year, pouring in 27 on 9 of 18 shooting, while also grabbing four boards, dishing out a team-high four assists, and blocking three shots. Josh Jackson had 22 off the bench for Detroit to go along with 8 rebounds. Mason Plumlee had his fourth double-double in 5 games, grabbing 14 rebounds and tying a season-high 17 points. Blake Griffin also had 11 points for the Pistons. Derrick Rose was not on the injury report and was dressed on the bench but did not play as Rodney Magruder got minutes with the second team, and after the game, Coach Dwayne Casey said Rose was suffering from an upset stomach. Utah was led by Donovan Mitchell, who exploded in the third quarter and ended up with a game-high 32 points to go along with 6 rebounds. Mitchell's backcourt mate Mike Conley also scored 20 for the Jazz, who also got 18 from Bojan Bogdanovic, 12 from Royce O'Neal, who completed a double-double of his own, grabbing a team-high 13 rebounds. Off the bench, Jordan Clarkson had 12. For the first time this year, the Pistons pushed the @BetOnline spread of +12, and the over came in for the first time in 3 games. Detroit will have a few days off before heading to Phoenix to take on the 11-8 Suns on Friday. That game will tip off at 9 p.m. on Fox Sports Detroit Plus and WWJ 950 a.m. This has been your Pistons game recap.
Detroit basketball!
What a tale of two halves, right? To get cliche about this, so bad in the first half. Nothing really to like outside of Jeremy Grant at times and Josh Jackson playing well throughout this game. He was the player of the game out there, but just to have that young group come in once again. Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey getting some run, playing well as well. And Josh Jackson, Jeremy Grant goes back in early fourth quarter with those guys, claws it all the way back. And then you bring in DeLon Wright, Blake Griffin, and Mason Plumlee. Plumlee played well. He deserved to come back into the game. And Stewart at some point is going to get tired. We haven't seen it. We don't have any evidence of this. But I had no problem with Plumlee getting back in the game, rewarding him there. Look, we know about the awkwardness of the Blake Griffin conundrum. He is not one of the best players on this team right now. I'm convinced that with the Pistons starters on a typical night, Blake Griffin, Mason Plumlee, DeLon Wright, Wayne Ellington, and we'll remove Jeremy Grant from this jag I'm going on right here. Are those the worst four starters in the NBA? Blake Griffin, DeLon Wright, Mason Plumlee, and Wayne Ellington. And again, some of those guys are overachieving to maybe what we thought. Blake Griffin is certainly underachieving to what we thought. But there, right now, today, tomorrow, if we're going to roll out the balls and play a game with all the starters in the NBA, those four might be the four worst starters in the NBA right now, and that's on one team. So I want someone to dig through the numbers and show me one or two guys that are worse than those four. But that's where we're at, and it's obvious watching the games, right? I mean, these guys are overmatched early. They got no chance. They're down like 22-9. They have no chance of getting anything done outside of Jeremy Grant, and we watch it night in and night out, and we wonder, why isn't one of the young guys, why isn't Isaiah Stewart flipped into that starting lineup and Mason Plumlee played with the young guys like he's kind of billed as the guy who will do that? Why haven't Josh Jackson gotten back in? It's pretty obvious now, and I know that Wayne Ellington deserves a little bit of slack because of the great shooting he's done throughout the season, but the wheels have fallen off, and they've fallen off hard, predictably so, and it's just kind of gone back down to earth. I tried to be excited about the Wayne Ellington burst of three-pointers, but deep down, I just really wasn't. It didn't do anything for me. So here we're at. Dwayne Casey rewarding the whatever happened with Blake Griffin and DeLon Wright to get them back into the game late and to lose. And the starters, when they came back in, when the starting group did, they did pretty well. But guess what? Josh Jackson stayed in with those guys, and he was the one making plays instead, and Wayne Ellington didn't come back in. And then Jeremy Grant, who of course should be in all situations if possible, he was making plays as well. So it wasn't like, you know, DeLon Wright, Blake Griffin, if anything, those guys were hurting the team at the end of the game just like they have been all season. But a lot of positives, and it's a positive that they lost, but still it's just frustrating to watch this kind of stuff night in and night out. And again, maybe it's an organizational decision that we got to kind of roll over in some of these games, as weird as it sounds. Awkward, that is for sure. But speaking of awkward, I got some bad audio coming up on my discussion with Brother Brian, where we talk trading cards. So that's coming up for you next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Can't even tell you guys about how much things like CBD has helped my life in this past year. You know how tough it's been. It's been tough for your boy, too. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA media is sleeping on DeAndre Hunter. That's right. The ad copywriter was right. DeAndre Hunter's been really good. Anyway, CBD PM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little bit before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience, and are available in lavender and eucalyptus scents, as well as a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herb. CBDMD is helping me relax and shed the holiday stress as well. During the day, at night, everything you need, get that stress, lower those shoulders, get those knots out of your back, all that stuff that we've been piling on to our poor bodies in this past horrific year. And to make it even easier to get the new year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com, promo code NBA, for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
Yes, sir!
We're covering everything you need to know about the Pistons, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. Now for part two of a chat with Brother Brian that we had on Monday night about sports cards. They're booming right now. He's going to tell you about his collection. We're going to talk about maybe what he's thinking about doing in a Pistons angle. And he's also reaching out to you guys and wondering for some ideas and suggestions as well. Apologies one more time for my audio end on this conversation. Some technical issues. Bottom line, I'm an idiot, and that's all you need to know right now. But check out part one from Tuesday's episode, and here's part two, me and Brother Brian chopping it up about trading cards. Talking cards. Now, basketball cards are like a whole other animal. Baseball cards are the traditional ones that even our dad collected as a young guy. And then football cards and hockey cards were maybe a little bit bigger in the 80s than basketball. But you think about Jordan and Bird and Magic,
getting the NBA onto the focus. But of course, the rookie cards are the ones that everyone wants. But basketball just wasn't a big deal for cards in the mid 80s and before, and even into the probably later 80s until you had hoops come in and all that. So when you're looking for, you know, Jordan rookies and stuff like that, those kind of cards, if you're looking on eBay and whatnot, are, first of all, they're really obscure. You can only find like one brand per year, it seems, right? I mean, Talk about looking for those kind of cards.
Well, I first kind of ran into that because as I was starting this kind of strategy I was going after, I thought it would be fun to go after Isaiah Thomas as a Piston. That would be fun, kind of early 80s. You know, the Jordan ones you're talking about, those 86 Fleers or, 85 Fleers, you're talking about thousands of dollars. I mean, they're obviously, like you said, super rare, super expensive, and also the most counterfeited card on the sports market. I was told, don't quote me on that, that was rhetorical. I think that was told me. But, you know, like you said, basketball cards just weren't around when Isaiah Thomas was a rookie, and I really kind of wanted to focus on rookies. But basketball cards have just exploded in the last 10 years. I think with the global popularity of the sport versus some of the others. Fantasy basketball probably hasn't taken off like fantasy football has to kind of be a secondary outlet as rooting for it, as along with the gambling as well. I think for football is so big as it is for basketball, but the basketball card market really did take off, and that's a different level of collectible right now, I believe, just judging from the little bit I looked in. So finding a Piston that I kind of wanted to collect has been kind of difficult, as it's somebody that I want, you know, it's not a gamble, so I don't want to look at rookies or that may not pan out. I've chosen people who have basically already panned out or retired in Steve Yzerman's case. And the Pistons not having been good for the last decade and change really makes, you know, the group of people I'm looking at pretty tough. Blake Griffin is an option, as he's somebody who's nearing the end of his career, a very successful NBA career, probably doesn't end up in Springfield most, you know, for all intents and purposes. But again, a very good NBA career. There are some rookie cards of his that are worth looking at. I went back to the going to work Pistons. It may, you know, being the Pistons, the next player that I'm going to be looking at, Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton. But again, what I'm running into in those early 2000s is just such a wide berth of cards and different types. It's really tough to really narrow somebody, you know, kind of nail someone down that is something that I'd like to collect. So I'm still kind of in the market for searching what a good Piston strategy might be. And if anybody has any recommendations, hit us up on Twitter on that. But yeah, certainly basketball cards are a different animal right now, as the cost for those is significantly higher than their baseball counterparts.
Yeah, the significantly higher from the past, but also from what I understand, and again, this is a little bit of an outsider's perspective still, that at some point when cards were kind of at their lowest, where, you know, if it was a few years ago when no one was paying attention at all, it seemed like Panini stepped in and kind of invested into the basketball card market and did a better job of learning from the mistakes of when we were teenagers, when it was just Upper Deck with the Ken Griffey rookies, where they just printed them to the point where they didn't have any value. And they said, we got to have some control over how many of these cards we print. So there's a reliable low number of those cards out there, making them more rare, making them more valuable. And from what I understand it, the newer basketball cards now are so much more like the stock market than even the cards you're talking about with Verlander and Stafford, in that there's such a controlled amount and you know what's out there. So when you go on, if it's a Luka Doncic auction, like if you have like a good week and you're a young player, like a Tyrese Halliburton or some of these rookies, LaMelo, who's having like good weeks here and there, like the value of their cards go up because they have a good week of play. So really, I mean, talking about, you know, the coupling of the stock market, which everyone's talking about right now for other reasons, but the basketball card market for some of these young rookies is really a lot like the stock market right now, in that if you pick up some Zions or some Ja Morants or Killian Hayes or whatever, and Killian comes out beginning of next year and looks really good, maybe it's a time to buy low if you still believe in Killian Hayes right now. So, yeah, in addition to, like you mentioned, Ben and Chauncey as guys who are on the outside looking into the Hall of Fame right now, But who knows? You know, maybe Chauncey ends up being a head coach someday, and that ends up padding his resume. Maybe Blake Griffin has a third act as a complimentary player on a championship or finals team or something like that, and that could drive him to Springfield to become a Hall of Famer. And you know, I wouldn't count Blake out on a Hall of Fame quite yet, because I think that the college part will play into it. People will talk about, like, the injuries will be part of the narrative in a positive way for him. People will do that kind of what could have been talk if it weren't for the injuries, plus just his fame and just how well regarded as a guy he's turned into throughout his career. So, yeah, a lot of options there. And like you said, I'd like to hear what the listeners have to say on Twitter or however you get in touch with us about suggestions for Pistons past, way past, immediate past. If you think Drummond's going to get on the Nets in a buyout situation or something like that, Bruce Brown, I don't know, whoever you think. So, yeah, give Brian the suggestions of what Piston you are.
Bang the over, brother. Brian here, and I'm here to take you through a night of NBA basketball with some information to help you on your way with your gambling needs. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Looking over the night in the NBA, we've got a couple of big spreads as the Indiana Pacers are 8.5-point underdogs at the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Minnesota Timberwolves match that as 8.5-point underdogs as well at the San Antonio Spurs. You looking for a low game number to bang the over on? Well, the Knicks at the Bulls come in at 216.5, while on the other end of the spectrum, that Pacers-Bucks game's all the way up at 232.5. If you want to wager a little to hopefully win a lot, then your team tomorrow is the Indiana Pacers at +305, and on the flip side of that, the Milwaukee Bucks are -375. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey, do you guys know a team that might be interested in the NBA draft? Well, March Madness is a few months away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first big board of the year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcasts. More with Brother Brian and Trading Cards.
So something I hadn't thought of that you had mentioned in regards to Blake is you'd mentioned the volatility with the younger players, and I kind of wanted to stay out of that and being a novice going back into the market. So I'd chosen proven players. But something that when I, you know, talked about Steve Yzerman, knowing that, yeah, he's already in the Hall of Fame, so there isn't a ton of value that's going to change there. But now he's the GM of the Detroit Red Wings, so he can start adding to his resume that way. So there's, as long as he's keeping himself in the news or relevant, then there's always the possibility and likelihood that there is some value that is recouped in some of the of his collectibles. And with Blake, it doesn't necessarily have to end in Springfield. Like you said, his post-career plans are probably going to keep him in the public spotlight. And, you know, there could be a lot of things that aren't even related to basketball that continue to help his Q rating or his fame or his relevance into the future that could, you know, possibly affect card value. And I look at somebody like, and I'd have to go back to research exactly, Kenny Smith's cards are probably a little more valuable than his contemporaries at that time, just because he's still relevant to basketball fans and he's still a name that people recognize. Bison so Dele, that might be something. Yeah, right. You know, it's funny you mentioned Bison Dele. As I was going through a load of cards today, I pulled out about 20. Brian Williams was the name at the time. And, you know, it was when he was in the Nuggets. I pulled about 20 out and said, no, I'm going to set these aside, and you know, because there is kind of a, I mean, there is a story there. So
who's the next, you know, mysterious death of the current players is the real question that we're trying to figure out here with cards.
It's Dennis Rodman. Oh, you said current players, but the answer is Dennis Rodman.
It has to be a bit of a surprise, I think. Is
yeah, right.
We kid. We hope Dennis is with us for years and years.
Yes.
Always good to chat with Brother Brian as we do. Fridays with Brian. Check us out. We go a little bit off script on Fridays and have some fun to wrap up the week and get us into the weekend. But are you back to collecting cards? Did you never stop? Give us your feedback. Tell us what we should know,
What we don't know, is there a player that you're zeroing in on? I was a Dikembe Mutombo guy. That was kind of like my sweet spot of, I guess, early 90s when he was a rookie, and it was like that Larry Johnson year, and Zoe was a young player at that point too. For some reason, I really gravitated towards Mutombo. I bought a lot of those rookie cards back in the day. Honestly, don't know where those cards are now at this point. It's a weird mix because some of them ended up at friends' houses, some of them back at my parents' house. Didn't really take any of them with me as I moved around the country a little bit. But Kel, give us your feedback. I'm guessing at least a few of you listeners have some pretty good stories to tell. Maybe use the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Did you throw away some cards back in the day? My dad's got that old classic story where he just got married to my mom, a young couple trying to make ends meet, had a box of cards, took it up to a card shop, and one of the card shows, and I think he ended up getting about $200, which in, you know, the late 70s, that was a big deal for Bill and Diane Shook there to get $200. But looking back, it was probably something like, you know, multiple thousands of dollars, maybe $10,000-$15,000 worth of cards when you think about those, the Mickey Mantles and whatever else in the 60s and into the 70s as well. But I'm sure you got one of those stories, some cards that your mom threw away. What do you got? Basketball cards, baseball cards, football cards. Tell us the stories. Have you always been a collector? Are you just getting into it during the pandemic? 810-666-1546. Give us your name. Tell us where you live. And let us know your story, even if it's not Pistons related. We'll go a little bit off the cuff here with our card stories. Did you have a favorite player? Did you have a Dikembe Mutombo, Shaquille O'Neal, like I did back in the day? But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.